You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
As we've been reporting throughout the show, the EU has reportedly raised its opening demand for Britain's Brexit bill from the previous estimate of 60 billion euros to 100 billion euros. That's according to the FT. Apparently, this new higher figure has emerged following pressure from France and Germany. And the new bill could be a major obstacle for achieving a transitional trade deal by 2019 when we're due to leave the EU. To discuss this further, I'm now joined by Yanis Koutsimitis, who is a European affairs analyst. Good afternoon, Yanis.
Good afternoon to you.
So, based on these reports in the FT, how has the EU been able to come up with such a large figure of 100 billion euros?
Well, no one really knows, because it's a report that has not been confirmed by official sources of the EU. No, the official EU negotiator, Mr. Barnier, was willing to be more specific on a ballpark figure of what that amount could be for the UK to leave the European Union. So we're looking at a very, very tricky situation now. The new British government, after the June elections, will have to negotiate huge amount of money with the European Union without having a mandate on negotiating billions of pounds of monies being paid to the EU. I think this will be a very tricky political task for Mrs. May if she wins the election.
But perhaps a tiny bit easier if she's got a big majority. She could cope with some rebels voting against her potentially. But I mean, is the reality that the UK is going to have to pay a lot of money to Brussels before we can even begin to negotiate some of the other very difficult issues that are on the agenda?
Yes, well, this is very, very likely, because there are some commitments that were taken in the previous years. And although I find the 100 or even a 60 billion euro price tag a bit exaggerated, I think dozens of billions of pounds will have to be paid to the EU in order to reach an agreement and to have all European countries sign on to the Brexit agreement, so that EU can negotiate a new trade agreement with the European Union.
But what is the justification? What's the EU's justification for asking for any money from us? I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be thinking, well, we're leaving the EU in 2019, we'll leave the club. Why do we have to carry on paying for the club once we've left it?
Well, the argumentation is that there were European Union budget budgets that were negotiated with the previous British government, and the Europeans consider that to be commitments, legal commitments by the United Kingdom towards the European Union. And also there are dozens of European programs that have the UK's ratification on it, and the EU considers to have the EU liable on those programs.
How much of a problem is the UK's departure going to be for the EU budget, given that at the moment I think the UK is the second largest net contributor to the EU budget after Germany? Is Germany in the end going to have to stump up a lot more money to make up for the gap once we've left?
That's exactly the point, because European net contributors will have to contribute a lot more money to the European budget, while the net receivers of the EU will veto any lowering of the EU budget because of the UK leaving the European Union. So what apparently is up at this moment is there is a significant problem of the EU to try to prevent a rift between net contributors and net receivers in the EU because of the UK leaving EU net contributions. And that is the problem with the negotiations right now.
Now, of course, another early issue on the agenda is the rights of EU citizens in the UK and the rights of UK citizens who are currently living in the EU. Do you think this issue could be resolved fairly easily? I mean, I'd have thought, why don't we just say, fine, all the EU citizens who are here now, they continue to have all their rights, and vice versa with UK citizens in the EU. Why would this issue be difficult to negotiate?
Well, I think this is an issue that I think will not be very hard to find a settlement, because it's, I think it's also in the best interest of the British government to have a humane treatment of the EU citizens that are residing and they have their citizens' rights in the UK. Of course, there will be issues about welfare, about other issues that these people may have, and also for the UK citizens residing in EU countries. But I think this will not be the main obstacle in the upcoming negotiations with the EU.
When you say welfare, so would a British person be able to claim welfare in Italy who's already living there? Is that the kind of issue you're talking about there?
Yes, of course. And I think it's totally to the right of these people that have been living in European countries for long to be able to claim their rights in the EU countries, or to claim the rights from the EU directly. So this is an issue that I think the EU is willing to negotiate with a fair manner, because it regards human beings.
And just finally on trade, everyone I speak to says there's no way we will have a full permanent trade deal agreed by April 2019. What are the chances of at least having a transitional trade deal agreed by April 2019?
I think it's the more likely outcome of the negotiations, because it's I think it's absolutely unrealistic to expect that we will have some 2,000-page agreement.
But what? Let's look at the chances of a transitional deal or no deal whatsoever. What's the most likely for April 2019?
Well, if an agreement on the UK financial settlement to the EU is reached, I think that will be more easy to reach a transitional agreement. It's in the best interest both of the EU and the United Kingdom to have a transitional agreement and to not have this cliff. UK going over the cliff in the relationship with the EU. So I think the most crucial thing right now is the financial settlement of the UK.
Yanis, thanks very much for speaking to again on this. Always interesting to hear your views. That was Yanis Koutsimitis, European Affairs Analyst.